Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Wonderful. Well, we are in a season where we are talking about what it means to be whole in God. And I love the whole revelation of wholeness because the Bible's intent is never to inform us, but really to transform us. How many of you would agree with that? And the Word of God is powerful and active. And as we read and unpack the Word of God, we should never aim to let the Word of God make us more religious or more knowledgeable. But we want to let the Word of God change our hearts on the inside. And I want to submit to you today that the journey of discipleship is really so much of Jesus changing us on the inside rather than on the outside. And so we're going to head to the Gospels today, and we're going to read a couple of texts straight up, one in Matthew chapter 12 and one in Luke chapter 6. Both have the same idea, but to different audiences, if you like. And the first one is Jesus addressing the Pharisees. These were people that were more concerned with outward appearances of godliness. They were more concerned with people observing or behaving a certain way on the outside. And so we pick up the account in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus had just prayed for he just delivered someone from, demonic torment and oppression and set him gloriously free. And the Pharisees came and accused him of doing an evil work. They got the heebie-jeebies, right? So they accused him of doing an evil work. Jesus says this, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, he's talking to religious people here. How can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Second text we're going to unpack, Luke chapter 6. This is to disciples this time. Jesus says there's no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth outside speaks what the heart inside is full of. And so today I want to speak on this thought from the inside out. From the inside out. Thank you so much, Jono. Give Jono a big hand. From the inside out, Jesus uses tree and fruit. He talks about mouth and heart just to play off between the inside and the outside. And the word heart in the Greek is the word cardia, meaning the central driving force of all the spiritual and physical life that's on the inside of us, the soul and mind that is the fountain and seat of all our thoughts and attitudes and desires and passions and endeavors. And when you listen to the Gospels and the way that Jesus talked, he is far more interested in what's going on the inside of you than he is on what's going on the outside of you. Come on, somebody. And Jesus says that even though the inner life might seem hidden in the first instance, eventually what's on the inside of you will come out on the outside of you. You follow me so far? Right? And so what is Jesus trying to teach us? He's trying to teach us that the most important part of any life is the inner life and not the outer life. How many of you would agree with me? Say amen. Well, if we can all say amen to that, most of you just said, yep, amen, I think so. Yep, I think that makes a lot of sense. Let me ask you some pointed questions today. Is the predominant investment of your time, your resources, your thinking, your energy put towards changing what's on the outside of you or dealing with what's on the inside of you? Getting real quiet now. I'm going to talk to some people on this side because I don't think they like me on that side. Come on, somebody. Is the predominant investment of our time, our energy, our resource, our focus, our thinking put towards changing the stuff on the outside of us? Hello, come on, the hair, the clothes, the car, the kitchen bench, the new cushions, the new bed, the new face, the new body. Is most of the investment of our lives trying to change what's on the outside of us or what's on the inside of us? Because scripture is really clear. What really matters most is what's going on in the inner life and not on the outer life. Are we trying with all our might to change the people on the outside of us? Huh? Get real now. Or are we focusing time and energy and thought into changing the person on the inside of us? How much are we demanding
change from our bosses, our workplaces, our husbands, our wives, our kids. And how much time are we paying or attention are we paying to changing the man or the woman on the inside of us? What Jesus is saying is that the way of the kingdom is for everyone to take accountability themselves for their own tree of their own life. Makes sense to you? Jesus is saying, I'm far more concerned with what's going on in your cardia than what's going on the outside of you. The world tells you to live your life from the outside in. That if you can only change what's on the outside of you, the inner part of you will be happier. But Jesus says the kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom. I'm far more interested in what's going on the inside of you, because what's on the inside of you will eventually flow out into the outside of you. Come on, somebody. The world tells you that if you just inject here and lift that, augment that, make that better, he'll love you more. The Bible tells you if you've got more money in your bank account, fellas, more letters after your name, more positions or titles that you can add to your LinkedIn, the world will respect you more and you're going to be happier. Can I suggest to you that Jesus is teaching an upside down kingdom? It's what's on the inside of you that matters far more to Jesus than what's on the outside of you. We all know this principle, and yet so many of us think that, if only we can just spend $20,000 on a holiday to Italy, it'll save our marriage. Or if only we would just go spend some money on a huge weekend away, it might just save our marriage. We got to do it. You know, we spend all the money and it's the huge date night and she's dressed to the nine. She spent 3 hours at the beautician. Come on, how many of you know that if you need to paint the barn door, you paint it. Right? And he's wearing his lucky jocks and it's a big night out. Right? And they go to the fancy restaurant that revolves around, looks at the beautiful city, the whole thing. And what happens at the end of the night? They fight. Because it's what's happened on the inside that's going to affect what's on the outside. So many of us try and address what's on the outside of us, but pay very little attention to the inside of it. We even do this at a societal level, at a governmental level. See all those social issues over there? Let's just throw a pile of money on it and hope that it's going to deal with that. Come on, how many of you know that the problem with the human condition has always been on what's on the inside of us and not what's on the outside of us, right? Little wonder, Solomon says this, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's body above all else. Put some makeup on your face, girls. Does it say that? Above all else. Build your triceps and your chest muscles and your pectorals. Does it say that? Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Come on, church. Proverbs 4:23, the New King James Version translates it like this. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. How many of y'all have issues? How many of y'all keep thinking the issues are on the outside of you? Solomon said, the wisest man in the world said this, guard your heart. The word guard is not to keep an arm's length from society and from community. I'm guarding my heart. I'm not coming to church. It's not saying. The word guard is natsar, like a gardener tending. A better word would be tend to your heart. Do you understand that? There's a vigilance around, oh, there's a little bit of weed in there. I'm going to pluck that out. Oh, there's a little bit of dirt in there. It looks a little dry. And put water in it. Tend to your heart, for out of it spring the issues of life. And I love the way that Solomon puts it. He says, above all else. That's a priority word. He's refocusing the human heart to look at what's on the inside of us above all else. Now, I want you to think back the last 12 months. What has your above all else looked like? Again, the investment of your time, your energy, your resource, your focus. What has kept you up at night? Things going on the inside of you or what's going on the outside of you? Come on. Where have you invested so much of your time. Can I suggest to you today, you can have amazing things that look great on the outside happening to you with incredible followers on Instagram, with wonderful content that you post and all of that, but still be broken and lonely on the inside. Jesus says this, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, gain everything that's on the outside of him, and he himself is destroyed or lost? Another translation says he loses his own soul. It speaks to an outer life success, but an inner life failure. And there is a word that Jesus uses in the Gospels that's translated into many different English words that speak to this inner life, and that's that word whole or wholeness. In the Greek, that word whole is the word sozo. It means salvation and deliverance and protection and freedom and health and restoration and to be made well. We use the word whole because it's as good a word that we can find to describe this word sozo. There is no English equivalent word. Our best attempt at it is the word whole. The word sozo speaks to our wellness or our wholeness in the inner life, not on the outer life. And here's what you need to catch. That word sozo is what Jesus died and rose again to purchase for you. You got to understand that. That word sozo is what Jesus died and rose again to purchase for you. When Jesus died on the cross, it said it is finished. If he came to give you a better outer life, then Jesus would have died and rose again to give you better muscles, better teeth, more collagen. Come on. But he didn't do that. Jesus died and rose again to give you a whole inner life. Can we give God a big shout of praise today? And the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, deals with what's going on the inside of you, not on what's on the outside of you. Yeah. I love the picture that is played out in this text in John chapter 4, when Jesus, after doing lots of ministry, he sits by a well, he sends his disciples into the city, and he's waiting at a well called Jacob's Well in a city called, outside of the city called Samaria. And when he gets there, he waits, and he chances upon a woman who we know as a Samaritan woman, and he strikes up a conversation with her, which in and of itself is quite odd because culturally, just Jews and Samaritans didn't mix. He was a man, she was a woman, and we get to see how this plays out in the conversation where Jesus begins to reflect back to her all the things that are happening in her life. We get to see her life story in a short chapter, really, in many ways, where we get to see how she behaves on the outside, being a reflection of what's going on the inside of her. Jesus reveals to her that she's had 5 marriages, 5 divorces, and currently living with a 6th man who she's not really married to. Is just, let's just call it in our modern language, a situationship. So it's fair to conclude that this lady has had a fair amount of heartbreak in her life. And the way that Jesus chats with her, he immediately reflects back to her using the moment. Jesus, this is the genius of Jesus. He's sitting by a well. It means that's water. And he's using this conversation to reveal what's going on the inside of her. And it says this in John 4, verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Again, she's thinking cultural. She's thinking outside life, outer life type dynamic, cultural things. Jesus answered, said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." This is the first time this expression is introduced in the New Testament. No one's heard this before in the New Testament. Makes sense to you? So this woman would go, "Well, what is that?" The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." Again, she's thinking outside. "When then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water," physical outside, "will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never thirst." See, he's leading her in the conversation to think from outside to inside. "But the water that I shall give him will become," here's that word, "in," the inner life, come on somebody, "will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." let me preach this. So here's this woman. We all know that she's gone through probably a whole lot of heartbreak in her life. She's behaving on the outside, what was a reflection on the inside. She's fetching water at the hottest time of the day. No one in their right mind would do that, all things being equal. She's avoiding of people. And even here, she's uncomfortable engaging in a conversation with a Jewish man. Jesus begins to unpack to her why she's behaving the way that she is because of what's going on, the emptiness on the inside of her. And so she's saying to her, lady, you're living from the inside out. You're thinking that you will fill some void on the inside by changing your outside circumstance. Jesus said, I want to come to change your inside so your outside can change too. Come on, somebody. So she's living from guilt, shame, disappointment, offense. We don't know, but we can probably assume, right? And she says to Jesus, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. She's like, well, what sort of magical water you got that you're going to draw from this well? And then Jesus says in verse 26, I'm that water. Wow. I'm that water that once you drink, sozo is going to come into your soul. And look, I'm here to suggest to somebody today that if there is something on the inside of you today that's limiting your life on the outside, invite Jesus in. Come on, somebody. Because he's the only one that can fill the longing in your soul. And I'm sure therapy is helpful. I'm sure the pills in the bottle are helpful. I'm sure, but I'm here to tell you today that there is nothing like Jesus coming into our inner life to heal us and make us whole than a new handbag, a new holiday, a new lover. Come on, somebody. The things we think that would make a world of difference on the inside of us cannot come from external sources. It only has to come by Jesus. He's far more interested in what's going on in your heart than he is what's going on in your face. He really is. He's far more interested in what's going on in your inner life than your outer bank account and your share portfolio and the color of your kitchen bench and what kind of cushions you got on your couch. He's far more interested in your cardia, come on somebody, in your cardia, than what's going on the outside of you. And so imagine with me for a moment this well of water on the inside, which really represents or is metaphoric for the human heart. For so many of us, we have this heart that prior to knowing Jesus, or even after walking with Jesus for a while, we feel that this emptiness. And because there's an emptiness, we think, oh, we really should fill it. And so we begin to fill it with stuff. We fill it with activity, smelling better, and medicating more. And we just put more stuff in there and thinking that if we're busier and have more activity, we're just going to feel more satisfied. How many of you know that we just take busyness with us wherever we go? And we wonder why we're feeling more empty and more chaotic than we've ever felt and no peace in our worlds. And for the rest of us, maybe we don't fill it with stuff. We just think that if we just change what's on the outside of us, it'll deal with the emptiness on the inside of us. It's a little bit like this. Oh, I've been in Asian church for 2 years. I'm just not very happy with my life. Maybe if I change church and come to Gary Wenham City Church, I might just feel a bit more fulfilled in my life. After a couple of years hanging out at Gary Wenham City Church, it's still very dissatisfying. So I'm going to come over here, drive another 20 minutes to Annie Leong Revival Church. And after hanging out with Annie Leong Revival Church, I still feel just as empty as I've ever felt. Then another 18 months from there, I'll just walk around and look again in Google, look at some Facebook reviews, and I might come to Debbie Ellis Church of God Church. And I'm hanging out at Debbie Ellis Church of God Church. They still don't let me publicize my book. And they don't sing my songs that I write. I'm still feeling empty on the... How many of you know I take my emptiness with me? Yeah. Wherever I go, I'm going to be taking emptiness with me because it's not changing an outside circumstance that's going to fill your heart. Come on, somebody. But it's what's happening on the inside. And maybe it's not emptiness. Maybe it's offense and hurt and disappointment. And we carry a darkness on the inside of us. And we feel like, oh, maybe if I just hang out at Nation Church anymore, I just can't deal with it. I'm just going to be so much more offended. I might just come now to like the Stein Tan, Gentle Church of God. After a while hanging out at the Stein Tan, Gentle Church of God, I end up meeting James Tan, not related, but he's not very nice either. And I think all Christians are the same. They just want to hurt you. So I'm just going to come across over here and hang out in the Shannon Hopper Grace of God Church. And when I'm hanging out at the Shannon Hopper Grace of God Church, I realize, oh, he's married to Tamara Hopper. She's a little bit mean too. And how many of we take our darkness with us? Getting real quiet now. I might talk to the Christians on this side. See, this is what happened to this woman at the well. She thought that if I could just change husbands, my life would be better. If I could just change situations and circumstances, I'd feel, if I could just avoid the crowds and avoid community, I'll feel less ashamed of my life. If I just do the hard thing that no one in their right mind would do, which is fetch water in the hottest time of the day, I might just immunize myself from having to face the pain. But if you know, that is the inner life that Jesus comes to deal with, not the outer life. Can we give God a big shout of praise today? Why don't we just let Jesus do what he came to do? He said this, Luke 4:18. He has sent me to change your circumstance on the outside. Does it say that? He has sent me to give you a prettier face. He has sent me to give you more Instagram followers. He said, no, he has sent me to heal the broken cardia. If you want to know the assignment of Jesus, it's right here. No wonder Paul prays this, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Oh, you guys need to get this today. In the inner man. Here's the thing. Jesus meets this woman right where she's at her point of inner pain, at her point of inner emptiness. She gets filled with living water. Come on, y'all. How many of you want this issue for you? She gets filled with living water. She's so full of living water. The Bible then tells us in verse 28 of John 4, the woman then left her water pot because she's got a full water pot on the inside now. Come on. Right? Went her way into the city and said to the men, oh, you guys not catching this. She goes to the city. Remember, she's avoiding people. She's avoiding the city. She's avoiding men. Oh, God, help me preach this. See, when you're filled with Jesus, the very things that you've allowed to limit your life by way of your purpose, your calling, what he's purposed you on this earth to do, when you're filled with the living water on the inside, you begin to express that on the outside. She begins to be the evangelist to Samaria. She says, come, see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. I'm wondering today if there's people in your world, in different parts of your city, that have never heard you share the gospel because your life is either so filled of stuff, so filled of black things, so empty that it's limited your calling and your purpose. See, the reason why we don't fulfill our purpose in God is not because God didn't give us purpose. It's because we refuse to deal with the inner life. Deal with what's on the inside of you and watch the work of God flow through on the outside of you. Come on, somebody. So it'll be remiss of me and irresponsible as a church pastor to ask you to go to Go Weeks in November when you're still full of this. And not preachers. Come on, somebody. Imagine connect groups full of people like this, trying to do Go Weeks. We can equip you, give you skills, give you booklets, give you training steps, how to share your faith. Do it out of this. Come on, somebody. No wonder Jesus was far more interested in what was going on the inside of us than what is happening on the outsiders. Can we give God a big shout of praise today? My time is up. Musos, you can join me.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast.
For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.